Happy Easter, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today's podcast will focus on the Vigil Mass of Pentecost Sunday and allow us to get into the readings a little bit on Pentecost Sunday and be able to discuss exactly what Pentecost is. As a result, we're going to be focusing this particular thing on what would have normally been a second podcast for today, which would have come later today, but I'm kind of thinking you guys would rather have just one podcast per day, which is why I'm kind of breaking it up this way, why I concluded the section on the Ascension before today in the Catechism, so that when we get to the next section on Monday, we can delve into what the Holy Spirit is, what His role is, and begin to experience that particular part of the Catechism and move forward into the everyday practical stuff that we need to know about our faith today. Now, on top of that, I also want to let you know, as I've been telling you these last couple days, we do have our website up and running. It is a website that I've had kind of in my back pocket since the mid-2005 period of time, when I was looking to make money online because I had gotten into all that stuff and was thinking about how to promote books that I was thinking about writing, and also to be able to have a platform for blogging and stuff like that. I used it time to time throughout the years, over the last 15 years. Wow, it's been that long. Can you believe that? And it, for the most part, wasn't really used to any great capacity. And it's only been recently that I've had this itch to really just transform it, use it as the stepstone where you can meet all the different parts of what I'm trying to do with the kind of ministry that I'm doing at this point in time of educating you about the faith, giving you background from faith points from the liturgy, and really show how Catholicism really is not a religion, but more of a relationship that we have with God. And that's the reason for dtesh.com. That's dtesh.com, where you can look at all this material, see the most recent podcast under the podcast tab, see the books that I've got published under the Amazon My Books tab, also see the Beyond the Podcast, where you get to see some YouTube stuff that delves a little bit into other topics that this podcast itself will not delve into, and also go a little bit further into other teaching stuff. Plus, there's a Teespring link in there that I've added in so that you can go to the Teespring store, buy t-shirt merchandise and other stuff like that to help support this podcast. So there's a whole lot of little things that are going on in that perspective. But that's at dtesh.com. You type that into your web browser, click enter, and you will go to the website and be able to see all these other stuff and begin to really see how integrated things are from there. And there are other plans with having a newsletter and other stuff there that will be on that site. But for the most part, just know that the website's there. It'll give you a chance of being able to listen to this podcast without having to download it every day. You can listen to it on the website under the podcast tab, listen to the most recent ones there. Plus, you'll be able to experience all the other content that's available. So it's trying to make it more convenient to a wider audience instead of those who are able to pick it up on Spotify, iTunes, or the Podbeam app itself. So with all that said, I do want to get into our lesson today, which is coming from the Liturgy of the Word for the Easter Vigil service. But before we do that, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of light and love, you are the substantial love of the Father and the Son. Hear my prayer. Boundless bestower of the most precious gifts, grant me a strong and living faith, which makes me accept all revealed truths and shape my conduct in accord with them. Give me the most confident hope in all the divine promises, which prompts me to abandon myself unreservedly to you and your guidance. Infuse into me a love of a perfect goodwill, which makes me accomplish God's will in all things, and act according to God's least desires. Make me love not only my friends, but my enemies as well. in imitation of Jesus Christ, who through you offered himself on the cross for all people. Holy Spirit, animate, inspire, and guide me, and help me to always be true as a follower of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first reading for the Vigil Mass of Pentecost Sunday, second option, comes as a reading from the book of Exodus. Moses went up the mountain to God. Then the Lord called to him and said, "Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourself now how I treated the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle's wings, and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession, dearer to me than all other peoples. Through all the nations which are mine, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." That is what you must tell the Israelites. So Moses went and summoned the elders of the people. When he set them before him all that the Lord had ordered him and told him, the people all answered together, "Everything the Lord has said we will do." On the morning of the third day, there were peals of thunder and lightning, and a cloud heavy over the mountain, and very loud trumpet blast, so that the people in the camp trembled. But Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking, and God answered him with thunder. When the Lord came down upon Mount Zion, he summoned Moses to the top of the mountain. The word of the Lord. Dun, dun, dun. The Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great indeed. You are clothed with majesty and glory, robed in light as with a cloak. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have wrought them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Alleluia. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. Creatures will look to you and give them food in due time. When you give it to them, they gather it. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your spirit and renew the face of the earth. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, we know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, we have also become the first fruits of the Spirit. We also groan within ourselves as we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that sees is not hope. For who hopes for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. In the same way, the Spirit too comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches the heart knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle them in the fire of your love. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our gospel is a reading from the Gospel according to St. John. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me." He said this in reference to the Spirit, that those who came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Spirit yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Gospel of the Lord. So here we have a great mystery, a great gospel, and everything that's tied to it. And it's something that a lot of people scratch their heads about. What is these living waters that he's talking about? How is it that the Spirit intercedes for us? How is it that this all connects? And why is it that we have a reading today that is based on Moses proclaiming the commandments to Israel and then after 3 days going up on the mountain? Well, there's a lot of symbolism in each one of these, and there are things that need to be unpacked. But the first thing we need to know is that today is the Feast of Pentecost. It begins with this Pentecost vigil service because in the Jewish mindset, evening comes, then morning. So on the evening before the next day, in our terminology, we would be entering into the new day. So every evening time is a new day. Once the sun goes down and the moon is up, we're in a new day, because that's how Jews told time. So the vigil mass on Pentecost Sunday is the beginning of the 50th day after the resurrection. Now, how do we know this? Well, it's because in Leviticus 23:21 we read the following, or in Leviticus 23 we read the following. From the day after the day of rest, the day that you bring in the sheaf, the omer, of the wave offering, you shall keep count for 7 full weeks. You shall count it 50 days until the day after the 7th week. Then there shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall do no manner of servile work, for it is a law for all time throughout all generations. So beginning with the second night of Passover and every night thereafter, it is a religious duty among Jewish people, and especially the Orthodox Jews, they hold this very deep inside, that they count a period of 70 weeks, 7 full weeks, or 49 total days. The 50th day is a major festival known as Shavuot, which literally means weeks. It's the festival of weeks. So on account of the 7-week period that counts to precede it, this festival is referred to as the 50th day, or as we would know it from the Greek, Pentecost. And this is what this whole feast is all about. It's counting the Omer, and it leads to the counting of Israel down, or counting it down. And what Shavuot commemorates for the Jewish people is the experience when the children of Israel, 7 weeks after the exodus from Egypt, were camped at the foot of Mount Sinai, experienced a revelation of God in what we now know as the reception of the Ten Commandments. Although these commandments do not constitute the entire Torah of God, which we would learn is the first 5 books of the Bible, it does give the basic beginning. And there is this unique interplay that happens where from this point on, the Jewish people take on a national identity that's based upon laws given to them by God. Now, the exact manner of the communication between God and man is not exactly known, so they don't know exactly how Moses came about of hearing this. Although in the reading that we get, or at least that was selected today, the second optional reading for the first reading, we see that Moses goes up to the mountain of God. He hears from God all these things. This is recorded in Exodus chapter 19. And when he comes down and he sets before him the things that God has told him that they are to believe in, they experience the express fear, and they hear that, you know, God wants to Moses to come up so he can receive all these commandments. And this is what is commemorated on this day, the speaking of God to his people. In fact, if one looks at the full Jewish practice on this particular day, it shows that they were present at Sinai when God was talking to him, much like the Jews when they heard the rushing wind and the apostles came out speaking in every tongue, which is what we'll deal with tomorrow. They were like, oh, what's going on here? There's something new. Well, it's just showing that there is a understanding from the feast or the festival of Shavuot, the lesson of release from bondage, winning personal freedom, but accepting God's rule in their lives that is at the center point on it. In fact, that's why this feast of Shavuot or weeks comes 7 full weeks after the Easter celebrations. Now, as we noted here, it's the second day of the Feast of Passover or Unleavened Bread that we experience this beginning counting of the Omer. So if we take into the account that Jesus died on Good Friday, and we take that being the Feast of Passover beginning, and then the Unleavened Bread begins day 1 right after that, that's a special holy convocation, or the counting of Omer begins there. Holy Saturday gets into account there. Then you have Easter Sunday, which is the third day. That is the day when you're counting the Omer down to Pentecost, or beginning to count the Omer down. That's why 49 days pass, and then the Sunday, which is the 8th Sunday after Easter Sunday, is known as Pentecost Sunday, because it's all counting down. This is the last day of the Feast of Counting of the Omers. This is the last moment before we go into Pentecost. And tonight, when the sun goes down, we are technically into Shavuot. Now, the reason for the significance of this particular counting and why it happens is a way of tying together 2 specific holidays into one, where we get the Passover connected to Shavuot, where God counts out and gives his law to his people, because it is a covenant that he's making with them. When he makes this covenant that he's making them his people, it comes about because of this particular day. And this is why in the second reading, which comes from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, we hear about how we are groaning for the salvation of God. And this groaning is partly because we need this. And the one thing that's really shown in this particular thing are 2 unique passages that I think we need to really keep in mind as we go through Pentecost Day. It's 1, the Spirit himself is what brings about this desire that we have, this hope that we have for salvation. It is a hope by which we are saved. I mean, you hear all these times with Protestants that we are saved by faith and blah, 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 and nothing else. Well, yes and no. Faith has to rest on hope. Faith is the substance, as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, the substance of things hoped for. So if we don't have a hope that our faith is resting upon, we don't have salvation. And here in Romans 8, we're being told specifically that we were saved. For it's something that we don't see. We don't see the full materialization of the adoption of our bodies into the glorified presence of God. Because just because Jesus is at the right hand of God, he has secured our salvation. But we must cooperate with faith and work it out, this salvation in fear and trembling. And this is the age in which we're living in. We're resting in the hope of the gospel. We don't know definitively that we're going to make it there, which is kind of the answer we give to people that ask us, if you died today, would you be in heaven? I believe I would be, but, you know, it's a strong hope. I'm resting in it because I'm trusting in God's mercy on that. I don't know where I rack up or where I end up, because I still have the ability in the next second from this moment to reject it completely and end up in hell. I mean, that's the reality of where we are. It's kind of the point of the to be or not to be declaration in Shakespeare's play, because he recognized that this villain, this character that he wanted to kill, had just come out of the confessional of the priest, so his sins were forgiven, at least as far as us Catholics are understood. So if he killed him then, he would go straight to heaven. So he's not doing him any harm. He's actually not doing anything good. So it's one of those questions. To be or not to be, that is the question. Do I want him to exist, or do I want to take him out? Because if I take him out right now, he's going to go to heaven. If I wait a little bit and then take him out, he might sin and go to hell. That's the whole intricacy of that particular part of that particular play of Shakespeare's. And that's what's being brought out here. We do not hope for what we see, but we wait with endurance. We persevere till the end. It's one of the mainstays of the Catholic salvation message. We have the grace of God that does all that we need to have to receive salvation. He offers it to us, and if we cooperate with it, we will be changed. We will be transformed. We will be born again. One of the ways in which we continue to do that is by first being baptized, or if we've sinned and we're coming to repentance, we need to make an act of perfect contrition in confession, or at least make a confession option. And in situations like COVID, situations like we're in right now where there's no confession available, we can make a general prayer and a true affirmation of our souls to be contrite about it and be accepted into heaven because of our faith and our hindrance toward the actual sacrament. But once that sacrament's opened back up, which can happen this weekend in many parts of the country or even further out, in a couple months in other parts, we're not exactly sure exactly the whole United States, how it's all fallen together. But once they become publicly available, then we have to go with the other option. But in the meantime, we're taken care of until we can do the other. So that's the hope that we have. The other thing that comes through in this particular second reading that we need to highlight is how the Spirit intercedes for us, how He does it according to God's will, and how we need to follow His lead. I mean, this is the biggest point about Pentecost, is showing us not that we can speak in other tongues or pray in other tongues, but how we are led by the Spirit. The key phrase in tomorrow morning's gospel, or in tomorrow morning's readings from Acts, is that they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. We see here that we are being led by the Spirit of God to do things if we're truly the sons of God, if we look at the wider context of Romans chapter 8. And that's the portion there that we need to point out. The Spirit intercedes with us with inexpressible groanings, inexpressible desires within us, because it is God working in us, Philippians chapter 2, about verse 14, to will and to do according to His good pleasure. And this is what the whole thing is about. As the gospel reading tells us, we need to be thirsty for what God is. Remember the beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That's what this is referring to. And it's the rivers of living water that flow from within us who believe in Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit that we will receive as a result of Him ascending into high and giving us on that Pentecost Shavuot Sunday the true Spirit that leads us into all great blessing.